Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 78, Episode 5 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and also say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries,
fuck you.
And fuck Fox News. It's Friday, April 19th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Mayor Yeet Buttigieg. It's courtesy of Christy Amagucci-Maine, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I'm kind of high and trying to find a pill for stimulation, while fiancés from Sweden dream of 90-day arrangements. And if you want these miles of things, it's Californication.
Whoa! So good. So good. Wow. You do my AKs now too.
I mean, I only do so Ketus. Good. That's all I can do.
Ketus.
Shout out to Trite Gang at Just TVZ AKs for look. I mean, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Woo,
love them
indeed.
And you look. You combine everything that's in my brand: ED, weed, and 90 Day Fiance.
I know, man.
The Holy Trinity of my identity.
Is that the one that's Californication that you were just singing, right? That's
no,
not
it's
the with the birds of
Californication.
Californication.
Yeah. No, it was what was that other one? Hello, I know it's you. And then he does ding dang dong dong ding dang dong dong ding dang. And I was like, yo, what the fuck was that?
That
oh yeah, don't get me on the John Daly.
The John Daly peppermint.
The peppermint.
So good. Anyways, nobody knows what we're talking about, but we are thrilled to have in our third seat, first-time guest, hilarious comedian, Alyssa Sabo.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, Alyssa.
I feel right at home here. I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
You do? You really?
No.
Oh, hell yeah. Not like
you're
that.
Not a peppermint?
No, but I do like that one song, and after I like parallel park successfully, I always play it, the one where it's like... Hey, oh, listen what I'll say. Oh. It's just
right.
Like a good.
You just have that queued up. You're like,
always.
Like excuse
spot,
me, guys.
That spot open. Yeah. Listen, hold on. Let me get this ready real quick in case I nail it. Okay, no, someone just got the spot. Oh. All right, then.
That's why I'm always late.
Yeah. Ketus is.
And missing parking spots constantly. Yeah.
Ketus' lyrics really stepped it up a notch in the. In the nonsense realm.
Oh,
there
yeah.
After a while, it just started being sounds.
He was all energy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we came
energy
for.
Energy and shirtlessness.
Wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. Alyssa, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today.
obviously,
yeah,
we're talking about Beyonce.
Yeah.
Because some people in our office actually saw the documentary. Neither of us, but...
I'm keeping it holy for my holiday on 420.
Gonna light some candles.
Light some L's and some candelas for Santa Beyonce.
Uh-huh. And we're gonna talk about how her show ended up on Netflix. We're gonna talk about the Mueller... the Mueller report. The Mueller report that came out apparently.
That came out.
Yeah. It's like this novel, I guess. 400 something pages. God,
that's what everybody was talking about. Okay.
It's like lame liberal people Harry Potter release day today. Everyone's just fucking blowing through this Mueller report, and the Washington Post has given us some key findings. It's pretty interesting. It's not super revealing. There's no like bombshells that are unexpected. There are plenty of bombshells that we already knew about. So we're going to talk about all that shit for a little while. Then we're going to talk about Flint finally getting a glimmer of hope. And am I selling the National Enquirer and maybe some Netflix numbers? Netflix is kind of... They're like, we don't give a fuck anymore. We're going to start publishing our numbers. So
how about
now
this?
We
Why
have
don't
some
you just
insight.
Give all the numbers out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than like selectively.
Yeah, that's true.
But hey, whatever.
I mean, the numbers they give out are impressive in terms of.
They always are.
Netflix is really out here in the zeitgeist, apparently. But first, Alyssa, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are as a human being?
Good.
Nice.
I asked that with a lot of conviction this time.
That was very different. That's not usual for me.
She's a first-time guest.
I know. Yeah, you're treating this like NPR, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like revealing about me as a human being. Now I feel like my answer is really dumb.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say
yours...
Helga Pataki. It was like a character from Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold, yeah.
I'm just always looking up pics. Mainly just like I like to look up like old 90s shows. And then try to like make memes based on like stills.
Nice.
I will tell you this, Helga Space, the first autocomplete is Helga Pataki.
Perfect.
Yeah, so.
She's great.
She is an icon.
She really is.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to Helgas.
Wasn't she the one who always called him Football Head?
Yeah.
Who called him Football Head?
That was Helga.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Helga is just such a like complex character. And
really?
If you really dig into it, like her mom was an alcoholic. Her dad was just like abusive.
Wait, really?
Oh. Yes.
Her mom was an alcoholic?
Yes,
like,
her mom.
Straight up?
Straight up. She was like, I'm going to have another smoothie. Like, that's how her mom talked. And we're just supposed to, like, watch that.
It was
be
just
like,
smoothies? Yeah. That she had a Jamba Juice problem?
She was an alcoholic. She was very, like, Helga was neglected. And that's why, like.
She was acting out.
Lately, I've just been on a Helga Pataki kick.
All right.
Because
so you stan Helga.
I stan Helga.
Okay.
And she was kind of the main antagonist / anti-villain.
Yeah. I mean, she was in
Hey Arnold.fandom.wiki is telling me.
Yeah. I love
Hey Arnold.fandom.wiki.
Yes.
Yeah, honestly, my references are pretty insane. But no, Helga like was in love with Arnold. And so she just like, but she didn't know how to express
that. Right, because she grew up looking at a very twisted version and depiction of love in her own home.
Of course.
So she was naturally just acting that out in her real life.
Yeah,
and completely unaware of the subconscious effect of the trauma she was experiencing in her own household.
Totally.
I mean, I really do connect with this character.
Yes.
But also completely on point because his head was shaped
exactly
like a football.
Was a football.
It totally
so
was.
So she's like saying the thing we were all thinking, like, wait, that dude's head is a football.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
So what? She was tactful.
Right.
She had a good eye, though.
That's right. That's right.
Motherfucker had a football head.
Good eye, good mind for metaphor. She's probably going places.
She's like a poet.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
I think sarcasm. I mean, like, I don't know if people are as into it anymore as they were.
Still into it?
Like, are they? But, like, if they are, stop. Because it's just, like, it's not funny. You're just being like mean, but you're trying to be funny. I don't like sarcasm and I don't get it.
In what way? Like in people performing stand up and people just interacting, thinking they're funny and people.
Yeah.
Okay.
In general interactions, people are like,
I can't even think of a thing they're saying.
You sounded like a grape stomping lady. Like,
I can't breathe. Okay. No, but like, you know what I mean.
Give me a recent example. What's something that happened recently where you're like, that's not it?
Okay. You sound like you're being sarcastic. Okay, Miles. I'll come up with a recent example.
Okay, I was gonna say sarcasm, but then I was also gonna, like, my other answer to what's overrated is nihilism.
Okay.
Wow,
you're going big. But stick with sarcasm. I think that's a good one, because I do think, like, that was a big deal, like, for Generation X.
This is the only way, I only spoke sarcastically from 1990 to 2001 after the 9/11 knocked it off.
And you're 9/11 really took the sarcasm
out
of your...
This ain't it anymore. We got bigger problems.
Right. Now full earnesty.
Oh,
all the way up and down.
Yes,
I've noticed.
Ernest
that.
Goes to prison.
Yeah. I guess with sarcasm, it's mainly people that, it's not necessarily with, like, comedians using sarcasm.
Sure.
It's more just like regular folks who are like, you know what I mean? Like, trying to be funny. And I just like
bartenders
hate that.
Don't need it.
Yeah, we don't need it. And I'm trying to think of, like, an example.
I need an example.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, this is one where, like, this happens. Servers do this a lot. And look, I get it. You can do whatever the fuck you got to do. You got to get through your day.
Yeah.
But there'll be times where I'll say, like, do you mind if I could get some cracked black pepper for this thing? And they go, no.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, what? And they're like, no, be right back.
I'm just kidding.
And I'm like, yo, that was jarring for a second, because I was like, are you a fucking asshole?
Yes, I mind,
yes.
Miles.
Yes, I'm an asshole.
It would ruin my day.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God. No, you can't have that.
Right.
No, you can't, actually.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think it's all in the delivery, but
throughout
I agree.
I might have a real life example.
Okay.
Just like, if it comes to me, I'll be like, oh... It came to me.
Cool.
I think
cool.
It's more like in transactions, anything dealing with money. I don't need sarcasm if I'm a customer.
Right.
You know? Like, or the other one, I'll eat everything on the plate. Oh, you really hated the meal, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Because then I'm supposed to be like, what do you want me to say to that?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I liked it. And act like I don't get it.
Yeah,
that's
just
why
correct
I,
them.
Yeah.
Or just play along.
I think
along.
Earnestly
yes, and
correcting
that.
People's sarcasm is a good way of going forward. Just earnestly, no, I did actually really like it. That's why I ate all of the food.
Oh, no, was it not clear?
Moving forward.
The food that was on the plate has actually entered my digestive system.
Wait, what did you think happened to all the food that was on the plate? Just really
followed
through.
No, I was being, it was a joke. Anyway, I got a lot of tables, man.
What is something you think is underrated?
Soup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I think people, this comes through sometimes.
Yeah, this does come through.
Does
sometimes.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go on.
Yeah, I
your
just
60
think,
seconds starts now.
I think that soup is one of the greatest inventions of all time.
55 seconds.
Because it's so delicious. Not only is it nourishing, but it like warms
seconds.
Your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like, you can get, you know, like vegetable soup,
seconds.
You can get chicken soup, you can
those
get
are
noodles
things.
In there. It's got every food group is in there and it's like, it's just everything. And you don't have to worry
seconds.
About like eating like, oh, here's my mashed potatoes. Here's my broccoli. And it's
right.
all in one. It's just like one scoop in your mouth. Boom.
Right. So everything's like, mixed together.
You like casseroles?
Yes.
So you
big casserole head.
You like everything mixed for you.
Yeah, you like a big slop plate.
I like it all mixed up.
That's like super producer Nick Stumpf likes a big bowl of just something. He's just like there's it's ill-defined.
Yeah.
And
anytime
just
we... Yeah.
Forked into his mouth.
Yes.
But even like soup is just such a. I always like recommend, like when I used to be going on a lot of online dates, like I'll be like, how about we get soup?
Like and over Skype?
Online dates, yeah. I go on Skype dates and I'm like, let's Skype and eat soup.
And they're like, what soup do you have? What can are you opening?
Yeah.
Now, you like a well executed soup that you get at a restaurant and not a canned soup? Or do you.
I'll do either.
You like canned soup?
Yeah.
Okay. Top three soups, go.
Chicken tortilla, chicken noodle. Vegetable potato.
Vegetable potato.
I don't think you've ever had soup.
Hold on. Let me check with the judges really quick. Judges. Okay. So
no. Oh,
vegetable potato.
Oh, I've had soup.
Oh, you don't even
you
know.
Believe.
Oh, you should see my. Damn. I have a whole other account on IG. I actually, it got deactivated for so much soup content.
This is like too much.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Okay. This is tough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people say geniuses are messy.
Mm hmm.
And I would have to debunk that because mm-hmm. I am not a genius and I am messy.
The logic
like,
holds
that's
up.
A quick debunk. You know, we don't really need to get into it. But I think that people just say that because they're like, oh, yeah, like I'm messy. But like, that's because I'm smart. Because
I'm a genius.
And they're like, no, you're not. Just get your shit together.
They're like, you're just really good at excuses.
Yeah.
I think it's completely unrelated. Yeah. I also think maybe geniuses are a little bit more likely to be assholes because they can get away with it. And so it's the same thing as, like, you know, why rich people or famous people are assholes is because they can be.
Or, like, if you're hot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, hot
right.
people
exactly.
are probably messy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, at
watch
the same time,
hot, rich genius.
It's better to not be messy, right?
Yeah.
And you're talking about messy, like, just, like, talking shit about people constantly, right?
Yeah.
Just,
yes.
like, yeah, just
bringing
a messy
the dirt
bitch.
Out. Yeah, I'm yeah. just so
just
messy.
Being a messy bitch.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Lipstick all over, hair a mess.
Yeah. And being like, I don't know if you heard.
Shirt on tongue.
Like,
yeah.
right. Gerald thinks he's the father. He's not.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I don't know. Just ask the dude who works at her shift at Dick's Sporting Goods, because he's giving her that D. that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think? Wait, why don't you think you're a genius? And also,
oh,
important thing, after many TED Talks I've watched,
yeah.
it's better to say, we have a genius.
Because that's a genius.
That's yeah. what it used to be, right? And then it slowly became more egocentric, where
right.
we began to identify as the genius versus being visited by a genius
yeah.
and
oh.
having a genius.
Yeah. yeah.
Visited by a genius.
Or, you know, it comes yes. to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus putting yourself, the pressure on yourself creatively to be like, I'm all right here. Where is it? Where
right.
is it? Just
yeah.
open yourself up. Let the shit flow.
Yeah,
you,
which is
oh,
how
yes,
geniuses
yeah.
think about their work or tend
okay,
to
well,
think
that...
about their work is they're like, God is speaking through me, or like the
or
work
shit,
is
yeah.
speaking through me.
Yeah.
I got to get the signal clear as day, as Andre 3000 would say.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. I mean, maybe I am a genius.
Hell yeah.
No, I knew you guys were going to say that. That's so nice of you, but like, I'm very self-deprecating. Okay.
I know. But
no,
you're
no,
funny.
No.
I like your
yeah,
tweets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
Your tweets
I think there's something interesting there.
Thank you.
Don't sell yourself short. You might be a genius. You might have a genius.
I got therapy on Monday. My therapist canceled this Monday.
Oh,
all
great.
Messy.
I'll take
people.
The money.
Yeah,
we can turn the mics off and we can go right in. And then you're going to have to hear all my shortcomings
yeah,
too, though.
I love it.
But being neat is probably just generally better than being messy, I would say.
Yeah, just be neat.
I know.
You know, keep things
I mean, don't if you can't be, but I just wish I was.
I'm organized confusion.
Mess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People think they're like, oh, I bet Miles and Jack are so cool. Yo, you see our desks, man.
It's a nightmare.
You see my house.
I saw it. I was like, what? Yeah. Like, what are these Sharpies?
You just saw me going like. And I was like killing roaches with my shoe on the desk.
like,
get
I
back
thought...
in here.
Yeah. But we know where everything is on that desk.
Yeah, I know where everything is.
Including the roaches.
I know where they are. And everything's where it's actually supposed to be, because then I know where it is.
Right.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
And Zeitgang, send in whatever excuses, rationalizations you've made for being messy, like that one, the time-honored one. I know it looks a mess, but I know where everything is.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, really, subtext, I'm too fucking lazy to clean the shit up, because also I'm not bothered by it, so it doesn't matter to me. Sorry.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing, though. I'm not saying you got to be like Marie Kondo clean.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Like,
she has a type of genius.
Yeah, that's too
yeah.
much. That's too much clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, even my mom, who's Japanese, was like, relax.
Right.
It was, you know, just keep your stuff. Just keep everything. Because
keep
you never
all,
know. You yeah. never know. Somebody might need it.
Totally.
And that could that thing might be worth something later on.
Yeah.
Are the rationalizations that would always help them up.
All right. Let's talk about Beyonce. She released her documentary a couple days back on Netflix. Already a hit. People are regularly sobbing as they react to it on social media.
Lacey Mosley, she was sobbing.
Yeah.
Sophie, super producer Sophie, sobbing.
Yeah. I think apparently it's what I hoped it would be, which is just like an execution, a really great execution of a concert film. It's not like the story of the making of the concert. It's just like...
Well, it's a little bit of everything, but
right.
yeah, but a good emphasis on the show, because that was really what the whole
right.
spectacle was.
That's the thing I wished I had been there for, and they seem to be trying to bring you
hey, well,
what the experience was
like. I mean,
like.
I know you're working hard on that time machine, man.
I am.
It may work out.
Yeah.
But awesome. Yeah, I mean, I thought, oh man, I'm really excited, because I'm just going to blow my sound system out with this thing, because I'm also a marching band nerd. So like hearing all the drumline shit, I'm like, oh, here we go. We're
yeah.
rocking the tenors and everything in this. But yeah, the thing about that documentary was like, when you kind of look at Beyonce's body of work for things that have aired on TV or cable or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's always been HBO, baby. You know what I mean? 2013, there was Life is But a Dream. That was all HBO. Lemonade. 2016, HBO. So I felt like naturally, if when it was first announced, my first thing was like, wait, why not HBO? That's weird. And then, of course, we find out it's because Netflix, as we know, I think what they had like a $18 billion. What was their content budget for this? So, like $15 billion.
Absurd. Yeah.
They're using their time-honored strategy of just blowing people out with their offer of being just exponentially larger.
I was recently watching, to get prepared for this, I've been going through, and there's a thing on YouTube about Destiny's Child. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm like prepping for it. I was watching that. They could have put it on YouTube, you know? It's really bad quality because it's like a VHS thing.
Yeah, I heard YouTube came in with a strong $15 offer.
That's what I was gonna say.
And they were like, but we'll split the CPMs with you.
We'll split CPMs. We'll get PewDiePie to cross promote and T Series.
Right.
It'll live on Vevo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think, like, again, Netflix and HBO declined to comment when people were like asking about specifics, but a lot of people who are familiar were like, yeah, there were discussions with HBO. Mm-hmm. Then Netflix came in and something happened and people are safely assuming that that was because of, you know, Beyonce is about her money.
Right.
And she followed the trail there.
And super producer Nick Stumpf, who you guys can't hear, but his voice.
It's in our ear.
Amazing.
He posits this theory.
Yeah, so his theory is that apparently he watched the documentary last night, wept like a baby, he said. He said that she was actually rehearsing the show itself for 8 months, and there were like 3 sound stages, and just an insane amount of work and probably budget went into the show in the first place. So his theory is that she kind of had to go with the, you know, highest bidder because she and maybe had a deal in the first place, and that's why she was able to put such a show on
for the
people of Coachella.
I'm sure at some point too, that's part of the fee that she negotiates with the festival too. She's like, you want a show?
Right.
You want me in the show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I will go in the lab for 8 months with 300 people and I will give you a show, but that is going to cost $9 million or whatever the hell it was. Anyway, I think either way, yes, that makes sense because the show itself is like nothing Coachella has ever seen.
Yeah.
But another
crazy
thing
that Nick is still crying.
Like, yeah.
You'd think that he would have gotten over it by now. But
that computer keyboard is ruined.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. Like, it's Coachella already happened this year, but nobody knows what's going on. We're still thinking about last year.
Like, that's 2 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
Or 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, it was last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
Last year.
We're still talking and tweeting about like that, which is so cool to me. Also, I love that she released it like around the same time as Coachella. She's like, you know, I know that like Coachella's happening, but like, let's not forget what happened last year.
Right.
Like, we don't. We're never going to forget.
Well, it's cool. They are treating it like a historical moment because they still have the setup like that you can like just walk by and like look at. Like, damn, that's where it all happened.
That's where it happened.
Where it went down.
Wait, they do?
Yeah. You can go look at the set. This year at Coachella, it's just like
the Beyonce,
those stairs, like
I didn't know
it's iconic
at Coachella. Yeah,
why didn't you post that on your stories? You've posted everything else from you at Coachella this weekend.
I know, I'm sorry.
Okay,
because I actually have a short film that I'm editing right now that features me kind of putting together a choreographed number,
asking people who everyone is at all the performances. Who's this? What's ASAP? What? Okay.
All right, I would know who ASAP.
You know, but no. Again, just to come back to Netflix, their model has been. They point to a lot of the other deals that Netflix has been behind. So they've been snagging up all kinds of projects for top dollar. The Springsteen on Broadway thing went for reportedly more than $20 million.
Wow.
The stand-up comedy specials by Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle. The Chris Rock one, $40 million deal.
And that was just one?
I think so. The Dave Chappelle was a few. It was like three, right?
Yeah, three shows
that
and
one was
$60 million.
$60 million. Dollars.
Jesus Christ.
So, I mean, that's, again, we're always like, why? You guys are always running in the red.
Right.
But I guess they'll figure out how
they're doing the Amazon thing, man. Just spend all the money.
Race to the bottom, which is the next top of the next thing.
Right. Just put everybody out of business except Disney.
Yeah.
It's going to be Netflix and Disney in the end.
Oh, ooh. No.
All right, guys, we've been delaying because I was just finishing up and I'm done reading the Mueller report. So we can move on to that after this quick break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and whoo, what a page turner, that Mueller report. I haven't read a single word of it.
Yeah, you just read the cover, and then you said you read the whole thing.
Yeah, but the cover is, you know, the important stuff. No, I'm just...
The Mueller report by Robert S. Mueller.
I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. But I've been basically getting other people's takes on what is inside the report. I'm not super surprised by anything in here. I mean, the Washington Post summarized their main takeaways or the key findings as Trump, when told of appointment of special counsel Mueller, said, "This is the end of my presidency." A little bit more was said. He also said, "I'm fucked. This is the end. This is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me."
That's a quote.
Yes. That's all quotes from somebody who was in the meeting. Substantial evidence supports Comey over Trump in a Count of Flynn meeting. That's something that kind of keeps coming back, is that it seems like anytime it was like Trump's word versus Comey, Trump's word versus the media, Mueller's report seems to side with the people who aren't Trump in basically all cases.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we take it sort of grain by grain, right, how the day unfolded, William Barr came out first saying, y'all get the Mueller report, but on CDs. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Who the fuck has CD drives anymore? Which caused a scramble of congressional staffers to try and locate a PC that had a working CD-ROM drive.
The last open Radio Shack?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my God.
They're, like, trying to put it in their car stereo, and they're like, I don't know. So that was sort of the first funny part, which I don't know if that was intentional or not. I mean, I feel like there are many more efficient ways to distribute a document than putting it on a CD-ROM. But hey, maybe that's just the world William Barr is from, and that's all his compact Presario computer would do. So then he had that press conference, which was by far the most disgusting fuckery fest ever. It was the Coachella fuckery right there, the main stage, the headliner. William Barr comes out and basically subverts his own role as being the attorney general, which is supposed to be an independent law enforcement official in the government. And basically just comes out and being like Trump's defense lawyer.
Yeah.
And defending everything and saying like, look, you know, he was under a lot of pressure and this was like unprecedented and he may have acted out, but that wasn't his intent. That's why we're not like really, it doesn't feel like obstruction. It was very, a true distortion of what is actually in the report, because he also goes on to say things like the White House fully cooperated in good faith with this entire investigation. Oh, that's false.
Yeah, I mean, that's like demonstrably false, like given the main conclusions of the report. Like Mueller is like, yeah, we couldn't get the president to like tell us anything or sit right down for an interview. The only reason we're releasing this now is because we knew we didn't want to like, you know, have a extended court battle over like a subpoena, which is a little weird. I find that a little weird just because we've always talked about how, you know, there was this standard for how quickly this investigation should have been over and passed special counsel investigations. And this was like insanely quick for the amount of like actual indictments that were happening.
But yeah. Well, there's actual, you know, because so much shit was just happening out in the open.
Right.
It's like, whoa, I just did my investigation on Twitter.
Right.
Came to these conclusions.
Right.
You know, and going on to the cooperation thing, I mean, we saw over and over wacky, skunk drunk Rudy Giuliani on TV being like, he's not going to testify. It's going to be a perjury trap.
Right.
Kept saying like, that's not why they're going to cooperate. But when you're trying to investigate something like obstruction of justice, you kind of need to interview the subject or the target of the investigation, because how else can you establish their intent to know where they're headed with this? But when they're sort of leaning back of like, oh, no, we're good, we'll just do some written answers that the lawyers will come up with, not Donald Trump. There were many levels where they could have cooperated and they didn't. And I think the biggest thing, you know, in the report that Robert Mueller states up front definitively, saying that because of Department of Justice guidelines, you know, you can't indict a sitting president. That's just sort of the belief in the DOJ. So I'm working through a narrow framework from there, and I can't necessarily say, oh, this is chargeable or these things are happening, because of the sheer fact that I can't even come to that conclusion legally or by the guidelines. So
right.
A lot of that was used for William Barr, especially, to begin to walk this line of like, well, they didn't find these things guilty on all these things, without betraying the fact that the DOJ is also really unable to bring those charges or in a position where they can't really resolve those issues.
Right.
And then Robert Mueller goes on to say that he doesn't really buy that argument either.
Right.
But so this
that
is
the president is immune.
Right. Because I think if he was going to keep it, you know, 100,000% with everybody, he would say, if this was a private citizen, I would be like, yo, this is obstruction of justice, straight up.
Yeah. I mean, the quote is, on obstruction of justice, the quote is, if we had confidence after a thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the facts and the applicable legal standards, we were unable to reach that judgment. So basically, he's kicking it to Congress, and he's really putting, like, suggesting that Congress, like, do a thorough investigation. And
yeah, and also, he goes on to the sort of cooperation thing that William Barr was trumpeting, like, oh, they were so cooperative.
Yeah.
Was that he, even in the report, says that officials in the administration and other people he interviewed that were close to Trump repeatedly lied to him and Congress, and it was materially affecting the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not cooperating either. And there was just so many moments. I guess the deal is everybody from watching the president's behavior knew something was up.
Right.
And the report sort of confirms a lot of the things that had been reported, just sort of without his sort of official determination about whether or not it violated a very specific criminal statute.
Right.
But there's also a lot where we're learning a lot. I mean, we've been learning a lot about William Barr, too, and his role of going from, hey, this guy might be an upstanding dude, you know, he's like OG or whatever, to, oh, that summary was weird
yeah.
to now like, oh, you're in the pocket right now.
Yeah.
That's you.
And not in the improv pocket where you're like just in the moment.
Dude, no, or not even like, not even if you're a rhythm section, dude, just in that pocket, just grooving so hard.
She's in the pocket of the president.
Yes.
The
president's big
one of the worst. Yeah. One of the worst pockets to be in, like top five worst pockets to be in.
This report reminds me of like something like in debate class in high school, I used to like make up stats. I feel like there's something about it that's like a high school, like I was just like, oh, I'm gonna make this stat up. Like, it's just off.
Barr's report of the report. You
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too that is also described, you know, in the William Barr letter, you know, said that, oh, you know, Robert Mueller sort of left it up to the attorney general to determine whether or not these obstruction charges should be brought. And that completely contradicts what Mueller wrote. Because he was just saying, no, I'm not making that determination because of DOJ guidelines.
Right.
But William Barr completely distorted that and said, yeah, I mean, he left it up to me and therefore I'm saying not guilty. So, you know, let's party it up. Free Cosby.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've talked before. There's a lot of smoke. Would the report find fire? And the report basically reaches the conclusion that, yes, a lot of smoke. They describe the smoke in great detail. And then they say they never found evidence of fire within this like very specific parameters that they define at the outset, which is a criminal level conspiracy. But then they also describe the fact that the president was actively obstructing their investigation into whether there was fire. And at least they suggest that that has some bearing on the investigation's inability to find fire because they include the shit out of all the details of him obstructing justice, like his telling McGahn, his attorney, to fire Mueller.
Yeah, and tell him, literally using the words, Mueller has to go.
Yeah.
And saying, yo, go to Rod Rosenstein and tell this man Mueller has to go.
Yeah.
And Don McGahn, because he's like one of, like the actual, I guess an actual lawyer, he freaked out. He called his own personal lawyer when that was told to him because he was like, he realized, oh, I'm being asked to do something that I believe is criminal.
Right.
So I'm contacting my lawyer. After that, in the report, it states, he went to the White House, packed his shit up and told Reince Priebus, I can't do this crazy shit. He's asked me to do some crazy shit.
Right.
And didn't specifically tell him, which suggests that he didn't want to actually fully describe the criminal behavior just to keep Priebus insulated from knowing or whatever. But I'm sure everybody knew. But then he was talked into staying eventually.
Right.
And a lot of the other things, too, when you talk about obstruction, right, there's a lot to say that, you know, the Mueller report says there were numerous times where people could have obstructed justice, but the aides and officials around Trump that were asked to do them never followed through with his requests.
Right.
So it never actually amounted to the thing that would have been full-blown obstruction of justice. And so he was basically being saved by people who just weren't willing to fully light that fire.
Yeah, this reminded me of that Fire Festival documentary because when we were talking about that, we were like, the reason that this was such a disaster is because it was a guy with a really bad idea who had very competent, like incredibly motivated people working for him who were constantly executing everything that he told them to do. And so that kept happening until the very end when it was like, ah, shit, we can't pull it off. But it looked like we might be able to because we kept executing on this terrible idea. This was the opposite of that. This was an argument for just not doing what your boss tells you to because it ends up saving the country.
Right.
Because so many of these things that he tells people to do would have caused a fucking constitutional crisis.
Well, we already are, though.
Right.
I mean, if we're being
but it
100%.
Would have been, I mean, yeah. But if he had fired Mo, like, wow.
Yeah.
It would have been so much worse for him had McGahn done what he told him to do, and it would have been worse for the country.
Yeah, and again, you know, back to even the press conference that Barr had, and it was so cynical, right? Because they knew, they're like, let's do the press conference. I'm going to say all of this hot shit up at the podium. Rod Rosenstein, you look, go pretend to be a checked out mannequin, and we'll talk up there, and I'll say all
like
the things.
Dummy. Like a
ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, ventriloquist dummy. Have
very
people
freaky.
Made that point before?
No, but I think you should make that a t-shirt.
Okay.
When he goes up there, you know, he did all the Trump lines, right? No obstruction, basically said no collusion. And in this instance, he was very intentional by conflating collusion, you know, coordinated activity for a common goal with conspiracy, which is a very narrowly defined crime. And yes, they were not able to find anything that was chargeable for a conspiracy charge, but the idea that these people were not coordinating towards a common goal, I think, is completely absurd, because you have all kinds of information, like Paul Manafort briefing Konstantin Kalimnik, who the FBI has and other intelligence sources have identified as somebody who has very close ties to Russian intelligence, if not in Russian intelligence himself. Okay, right. So that's someone interacting with and it's someone in intelligence giving this person things like messaging that they're going to be using in the campaign, the state of the campaign, internal polling data, and importantly, battleground states that they identified that they felt were going to be good pickups with just sort of just general electoral college math. Because when you're doing, when you think about, right, the popular vote was lost.
Right.
But the sheer amount of like 80,000 votes spread over three states that deliver the electoral college votes. And these are the states that people like Paul Manafort are telling Russian intelligence, like, we may want to keep an eye on that. Oh, interesting. And there's also numerous studies talking about the strategy of Russian intelligence to go after what they call Clinton defector voters, people who were becoming disillusioned with what they were hearing about Hillary Clinton or just the Democratic Party, that were possible toss-ups to be swayed into voting for a third-party candidate or maybe Trump himself,
right.
But people that you could drive a wedge in between. They were very specific about those people.
So it's like coordination but not criminal conspiracy, essentially?
Well, because they don't have something like, hi, I'm Paul Manafort from the Trump campaign. You are Russian intelligence.
Right.
I would like for you to do this on our behalf so we can win the election. And then when we win, we will give you this. And this is our agreement. Wow. It's just not, you know, this is the thing where we look that we are kind of operating in an era where we don't have the laws to actually prevent these kinds of things, because everything was going in this, what a lot of pundits were calling lawful but awful behavior.
Right. Wow.
And because it's lawful or technically, you know, there's no, they're not violating specific laws. They're operating in this murky gray area and doing shit like this.
Right. I mean, this raises the question, like the thing that I was mentioning earlier, the fact that they just kind of halfway, like at this early point relative to other special counsel investigations, they just cut it short and we're like, we don't know. We're like, there's a lot of bad shit, but we're not going to find one way or another. And just punt it, like, I don't know. But not saying specifically, like, Congress should, like, determine this. It feels almost like Mueller and possibly Barr were, like, thinking about the constitutional crisis, like, that this would be terrible for the country type thing, and just, like, let the facts speak for themselves. Let the people decide, almost. Like, there's an election coming up. Why don't we just, like, put all the facts out there and let people decide? And maybe Mueller wasn't taking into account that, you know, Barr would be out here being like, well, the fake news media was driving Trump crazy and that's why he was behaving this way.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like Mueller had, like, there's something to his decision to do this that is like, why is it so incomplete? Why didn't you follow through on some of the stuff where, like, past special counsel investigations did follow through, like, all the way to getting detailed descriptions of the president getting a blowjob? Like, why did they just kind of cut it off at this point? Is he thinking Congress is going to just be up to the task?
I think, yeah, that combined with the fact, as he stated, he hit a wall because so many people were lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
Too, which is like, he's like, I literally can't even get useful information because these people are lying to my face, and I know they're lying, but I can't put them like under oath.
Yeah,
which is, and again, those are suggested. Oh, because Congress can,
right?
And then it's like, oh, can you pull up with that same energy when you're under oath?
Yeah,
and then we'll see, but they might not be able to.
So they are trying to get Mueller to testify.
Yeah, because they want to hear from him, because they're going to say like, so are you saying they'll probably? I mean, if it was me.
Right.
Someone who has no business being up there talking to Robert Mueller,
right.
I'd be like, my man, let's pretend the president is a regular private citizen. With what you saw, would you charge this person with obstruction of justice? Is the only thing that's in the way is the fact that he's a sitting president?
Right.
And then
right.
He'd be like, yes.
Right.
Then I'd be like, ha, ha, ha.
Right.
Well, now let's figure something out. But
and
again,
then what would you say?
Then I would be like, yo, my man.
Like the epic scene in Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, get him in there.
It would be called Legally Blunt.
Legally.
And I'm just fucking high as shit on the hill. But yeah, I mean, there's so, again, another interesting thing, right? Are there so many moments where we're talking about this gray area, right? Where like Paul Manafort even telling Rick Gates, hey, don't fucking say anything. Just hold, just stay strong. Keep your head low. Don't cooperate, because I heard from the administration, they're going to take care of us. They're going to take care of us. And then Rick Gates even asks, so did they mention a pardon? No, I didn't mention a pardon. Right. Just said, look, we're good. They're going to take care of us, which is fine, because we're great. On wax, you don't see a transaction happening. Right. But it's that mob shit. It's like saying, it's like, yeah, man, I hope you don't get some concrete cinder block shoes and fall off the pier.
Wait, so are you saying you're going to kill somebody?
No, I'm just saying I hope nobody comes to your house to size your feet for some cement shoes.
Because and then you get that thrown would be off. Uncomfortable?
I don't know.
Okay.
Is death uncomfortable? I mean, I'm...
Wait.
Do you have orthotic insoles?
There's a lot of technicality shit, like Super Producer Nick was also pointing out, like, that if Guccifer had, released the hacked material himself...
Or herself. It's not gender Guccifer 2.0.
That would have been one thing, but because it was, like, a secondhand WikiLeaks that was doing it, that there... then it wasn't collusion or it wasn't a criminal conspiracy.
So I think to that is sort of like, okay, let's put a middle person in front of the illegal Russian intelligence hacking operation of Guccifer.
Right.
Use WikiLeaks as like the smokescreen, because then as like a journalist, you can publish information you receive. It doesn't matter how it's obtained. Right.
So if it's just Guccifer like, hacking material... and then releasing it, and Trump was coordinating with him, it would have been a criminal conspiracy, or could have been a criminal conspiracy. But because it was WikiLeaks, who there's all this shit about whether they are should be considered journalists and like freedom of press protections, you know, you have this second party. So therefore, it's like, you know, everybody was willing to print this stuff. There's a second party, so it's not a crime.
Well,
it's not a criminal conspiracy.
In the report, right? Because Trump himself knew that there were further leaks coming before other people knew. And that's in the report, where there was a trip to like LaGuardia Airport or something, and he's on the phone. And like, it's like redacted. After the call, Trump said that there would be like further leaks coming up, and like, you know, trying to plan, you know, strategy around that.
Yeah.
So, but I guess if they're coordinating with WikiLeaks, then you can be like, I don't know, it's talking WikiLeaks.
Right.
But if you're not, if you're coordinating with, if you got Guccifer in your mentions and your DMs.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wish Guccifer was just out here, had the Instagram account, just said, link in bio, check it out. I got the hacked emails.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to chase down here and to continue, that's going to continue developing. We might be doing a special episode of Behind the Bastards with Robert Evans to kind of look into this stuff, and William Barr in the not too distant future. So stay tuned for that.
But I guess, you know, with all this information coming, we got the report finally, and, you know, whatever. There's huge chunks that are fully blacked out. The things that are clear, we'll have to see what Congress does with this, what Robert Mueller says if he comes to testify, what if they can get William Barr to answer some more questions, and really that we still just don't know where we are with all of this. Because
we just don't know.
I mean, what we do know is that there was some terrible shit going on. What we don't know is how the fuck are they going to handle this?
I mean, just real quick, I just want to read specific descriptions from the report. Manafort told Gates it was stupid to plead because he had spoken to the president's personal attorney and they were going to take care of us. Despite telling aides he did not like Manafort, Trump repeatedly voiced sympathy for Manafort and talked about the fact that they did not want him to flip. There's evidence Trump's actions had potential to influence Manafort's decision whether to cooperate. Evidence concerning the president's conduct toward Manafort indicates that the president intended to encourage Manafort to not cooperate with the government. The president's comments also could have been intended to continue sending a message to Manafort that a pardon was possible. That is a description of obstruction.
Yeah,
of justice.
Yeah, yeah. But again, we're dealing, like Robert Mueller says up top, look, I'm fucking handcuffed here. By guidelines, there are bylaws and things that say a sitting president can't be indicted. So I'm working already being like, okay, so I can only like just blow the whistle so loud that maybe somebody will pick it up.
Right. Do we know, Miles? I know there are certain things we just don't know. Is one of those things whether when Mueller like gets in front of Congress, will he be just unleashed, or is he still going to be like this demure?
He's going to be measured, and I'm sure. Counsel. I mean, he can't reveal things that were redacted or anything, obviously. Right. But I'm sure they can ask what his intention was, like by saying, "Explain this sentence to me."
Right.
And then parse through that. I'm sure he can actually explain that.
Right.
Because he's just saying, "Well, this is what I found." And then just like he says in the thing. But I can't come to conclusions on the criminality of it because of the existing guidelines.
I want him to be unhinged.
Yeah. I know. Like, just
Mueller
make a mess.
Unleash.
Rodney. So, you know, again, I think it just confirms everything that we saw out in the open when we're like, this looks like obstruction.
Yeah.
But really, I hope more people in the press are really looking at William Barr, because this man is completely just undermining the rule of law in this country with the fucking the antics he's pulling.
And kind of has been for a while.
Yeah, and like, you know, please don't start running chyrons and headlines with quotes of what William Barr said. Yeah. They need to say William Barr has been, you know, fucking around this whole time.
Yeah.
That's a good headline.
Yeah, and Mueller does specifically seem to kick the obstruction question to Congress. So, I mean, yeah, this is going to keep going. I'm pretty satisfied as somebody who's been following the story for a long time in some detail. I'm pretty satisfied with what I've heard the Mueller report says up to this point. But again, I'll have to read it myself, because otherwise we just can't know.
And we just don't know.
At this early stage.
We still don't know. There's so many blacked out things. I mean, oh, the juiciness under there.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and let's talk about Flint, guys. They finally have a glimmer of hope.
Yeah. I mean, you know, while everybody who studied abroad in Europe once was able to cobble together €1 billion for Notre Dame Cathedral,
right?
Many people were like, hey, what about Flint, Michigan, people's drinking water? Because the president was like, we're going to help out. We're going to help try and rebuild it. Meanwhile, you have crumbling infrastructure in this city.
Oh, Notre Dame, he said that?
Yeah, that the U.S. would provide assistance to help the rebuilding effort. And everyone was like, Flint still needs their drinking water! Anyway, so we found out earlier this week, the city of Flint received the $77 million of funding from the existing or the promised $120 million loan, which came from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. They finally got it, and they can start putting it to good use. Now, it's not a loan, I guess, in the traditional sense, because there's no interest on it. It doesn't have to be repaid. So okay. It's just like, I guess, however they're doing that for their books.
Right.
But essentially, now this thing is going to, now they can actually put a lot of this money to good use for short and long-term projects. That seems like what they're going to be putting in. Use various projects like water meter replacements for homes, installation of water quality monitoring panels, construction of a new chemical feed building, and completion of a pipeline that will connect to a secondary water source. But this isn't the end of the story for Flint, because they still need about $300 million to fully recover over the next few years to like really address this whole thing. And you know, they're completing this like fast start pipe program where they're trying to replace lead and galvanized steel water lines. And that could take about till 2020, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, at least there's money coming through. But again, if you want to put the Mueller report aside and just look at how the president is treating the people of this country,
yeah.
Flint is a perfect example, because right. This man is, you know, crowing for money for a border wall or like an additional $40 million in funding to build more tent cities for detained immigrants. So. Pick the myriad of reasons why this president is wholly unfit for the office, aside from his inability to follow the law. He also has no compassion and is willing to just, you know, wear that on his sleeve.
All right, let's check back in with our good friends over at American Media, Inc., Harvey Pekar, David Pekar.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, prepare to drop the bomb, okay, because they had to sell.
What?
Yeah, they had to sell, and I want to pat ourselves on the back. Drop the bomb! Yes. Maybe we did that. You know, most likely we did it.
We played a small part.
We played this. I like to say
bringing this media Goliath down. yeah. So they sold the National Enquirer for $100 million to James Cohen, who is the CEO of Hudson News. You know them from
every fucking airport.
Yeah.
Aren't they in every motherfucking airport?
Yeah, basically.
Nearly. Except for like maybe Burbank. They have like that weird NBC store. but... Yeah, I think it's like that. They get the Globe and another sister publication. So they're fully, you know, Trump's garbage tabloid, one of his, you know, three-headed hydra is going down. I don't know if that's a good metaphor. But anyway, I think a lot of it has to do with many different things. First, the shit was on its way down from a financial perspective. They went from selling 516 copies per issue in 2014 to just 218,000 this last December. So it's been on its way down. And on top of it, you know, there's a hedge fund manager who actually controls AMI, or at least, you know, who decided to sell it. And that basically happened after it came out of all the stories came out about how David Pecker, the head of AMI, was using all these catch and kill stories, and also the legal exposure from the Stormy Daniels stuff. They're like, yo, we can't have an asset like this. So let's just cut our losses, let's get our $100 million and get the fuck out.
Well, that's the only magazine I read, the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
That's where you got all your news.
That's where you got all my news.
I mean, we bought a lot of those over the years. I mean, we did our part.
I know. We were a big part of the sales of that magazine.
To read.
Do you read it?
No.
Oh, you should.
Oh.
Was that sarcasm?
I don't know. Oh my gosh, was I sarcastic?
Oh my.
I just practiced it. I'm sorry.
Practice what you preach.
Oh, man.
So, you know, pour one out for those shitty liars.
Let's talk about Netflix again real quick, because they are now releasing numbers, and they're telling us how many households are watching their various original programs. So Bird Box, they announced a while back, was watched by 80 million households.
I still haven't seen that.
Me neither.
Should I see
it? I fell asleep.
You fell asleep?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
it was just like watching people with their eyes closed.
Right.
I was like, I should close my eyes
yeah, as well.
It was hard.
So when you see like black and white films, does your vision suddenly go monochrome?
Yeah,
like,
I just, everything black and white.
My eye's not working. You're an empath.
Yeah, I'm really, just really sensitive.
Yeah.
So they've had some hits this past month. Umbrella Academy was watched by 45 million households, okay. Which you watched it, Miles?
Yeah.
And you're a fan?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like there were holes in the plot in mm-hmm. it, but everyone's telling me, like, you got to watch the whole thing play out, because I'm always like, it felt like they were really dismissive of these two characters who were trying to solve the problem,
right?
But then just let, like, the terrible thing go down. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Okay.
But... I mean, I kept watching, because like anything that like keeps me, like gives you a little taste of some kind of ending, I'm a fucking sucker for shows like that.
Is it based on a comic book by the creator of My Chemical Romance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
It's a comic book? Or
yeah, it's a graphic novel.
Graphic novel?
Yeah, I didn't even know that part, and everyone was like, it's the dude from My Chemical Romance.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Are you a big MCR head?
No.
Oh, damn.
Sarcasm again.
I am. No, I am.
I know.
Fallout Boy. Okay. All those guys.
I mean...
I did not know there was a difference between those. They occupy the same image in my head.
Really?
Just now.
Which one is Pete Wentz in?
I don't know.
My Chemical Romance?
I think so. He had the, like,
or
spiky
no, Fall Out
hair.
Boy. He's Fall Out Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And wasn't he with Ashley Simpson before?
That's the only reason.
And
I
now
know.
She's with Evan Ross. Before, wasn't she with Ryan Cabrera at one point?
Oh, she was definitely with Ryan Cabrera. That's,
see,
yeah.
That's how you gotta exercise your mind, people? Jack. You gotta go back
Cabrera.
In time
okay.
and go through all Ashley Simpson's boo things.
Yeah.
My memory palace for Ashley Simpson's boyfriends really needs work.
Let me walk you through mine. I'm entering the front door to the left. I see Ryan Cabrera with an acoustic guitar. To the right, I see Pete Wentz up the stairs. Oh, let me go up the stairs. Yes, there's Evan Ross.
Okay.
Memory palaces are very effective.
Yeah, apparently.
A lot of card counters, I think, use that.
Yeah.
Or that style of think right. memory recall. Ooh. Yeah. Anyway.
The Highwaymen, starring Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, was improbably watched by 40 million households in its first month.
Is that the...
It's like Bonnie and Clyde, but...
Oh, the cops who
the
killed Bonnie
and Clyde?
The
story behind the people who shot them.
Yeah, I'm good on that one.
Right. Is that where we're at as
a
country that, like, back in the 60s, we were like, we want to see the badass outlaws who, like, have sex with each other and, like, are on this romantic, like, death wish quest, and now we're like, we want to see
the
fucking cops solve the crime. It's like our true crime obsession.
That's like an improv game. You do, like, an improv game where you're like, this is the deleted scene of this movie or
right.
this character.
Right, where we follow the cops.
Yeah, we follow the cops. Like, nobody cares.
Tell it from their perspective.
Yeah.
It's like, when are we going to see Lord of the Rings from Sauron's perspective?
Right. Triple Frontier, which sounds like a movie that, you know, like a fake action movie from a Simpsons episode.
It sounds like an eating challenge at Cracker Barrel.
Also that.
Do the Triple Frontier.
So,
I will do that challenge.
Yeah, right?
That was viewed by 52 million households.
What? I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, that was the one with Ben Affleck where it looks to me like this video game, Ghost Recon Wildlands. But it's just a bunch of ex-Special Forces dudes who are just like, man, we should rob the fucking drug dealers because we got bills.
So, I mean, just in terms of, like, obviously this does not equate in terms of dollars, but in terms of like the amount of mind share that these movies are occupying, like 52 million, if a movie sold 52 million tickets, it would be like the second biggest movie of the year.
Right.
It would be $520 million. Like in.
Where you watching? Where do you get $10 movie tickets, Mr. O'Brien, in this city?
I watch all my movies in Missouri.
Oh,
yeah.
It's actually worth it when you do the math
you
with the flight, hotel,
good
ticket, because it takes only 10 bucks. It actually works out. Because here it's like fucking $38 to see a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fyre Festival documentary, The Greatest Party That Never Happened. Ugh. 20 million.
Did Hulu put out numbers for their Fire documentary?
I don't think so. I don't think Hulu puts out numbers. I don't, like, this is streamers don't usually put out numbers like this.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Netflix is just putting their numbers where their mouth is.
I guess.
Forget I ever said that.
Okay.
Let's talk about Our Planet. Finally, the nature documentary that we were talking about when the trailer first dropped and they were like, we got Attenborough, bitches!
Yeah.
That was viewed by 25 million households in its first month of release.
Have you watched that?
I have watched a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The first one kind of fucked me up because it wasn't like, it was a little bit like, this is the state of things.
Right.
Like, this is where we're at. And I'm like, can you just get to the cool birds and shit?
More
like,
pretty, less thinky.
I don't want to think of like a stranded ass polar bear, like how fucked the earth is.
Yo, but that crew.
It made me want to be a vegetarian.
Did it?
Yeah.
That crew of. I wanted to eat every animal I saw.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, get in my belly.
You're like Googling, like, where
bastard.
To buy panda meat.
Sick fat bastard ref. Yeah, let's replay.
Oh my God. That's what you were doing.
I said, get in my belly.
That was good. I heard it. I loved
high five.
It.
We are high fiving each other relentlessly.
I'm gonna watch Austin
over
Powers
here.
After this.
But it has one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a nature documentary. It's like this mating ritual where five like male birds line up on a branch and like do this dance.
Yeah.
Where it's like a coordinated dance and it's all to get the like lead male bird to be able to have sex with the woman if she's like impressed enough. But it's not like she's not impressed by one of them doing a dance. Their whole, it's like a
the
boy
crew.
Band.
The whole crew.
It's like so it's like
a boy
NSYNC
band
backing up Justin Timberlake so he can get with Britney Spears.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But as if that was NSYNC's only motivation. It's just really.
Hey, Justin needs to fuck, guys.
Right.
Like, five, six, seven, eight.
It's really like interesting that nature would evolve to be like that selfless, to be to just be like, yo, we need to get this guy.
Hence the name Wingman.
Right, exactly.
Oh, is that where that came from?
Yes.
No.
I just made that up for this
but
debate.
That's good.
It works so well.
I went
it
to
works.
The Alyssa Sabo School of Debate. According to the study
works.
I made up for the purposes of winning this argument.
It worked on me, and I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to start spreading that.
Yeah, please do. Netflix is about to take up a lot of my time this weekend because, you know, 420, I got Beyonce. I'm going to watch so much Our Planet.
Yeah.
Because I saved a couple of them.
Yeah,
have you seen the high seas
one.
Yet?
No.
The deep seas?
No.
The deep seas. Oh, my gosh.
The high seas, I think, would be about pirates.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think it would be about the discontinued
Wait,
flavor.
I don't know if you should
Ecto
get
cooler.
High when you watch the deep seas, because you might get scared. It was like a horror movie when I watched
it. Did you see that thing about, you know, blobfish?
Yeah.
Like, they look all fucked up because they're depressurized when we bring them up to the surface. But like below, they look completely different and not like Ted Cruz.
Yes.
I was really surprised because there was a photo where they're like, yo, we're actually doing blobfish pretty dirty, man.
Right.
Like they're out of their element. That's why they look like that.
Yeah.
They look much
rude.
Better.
But if you took us all the way to the bottom of the ocean where they live and like,
I would look hot too.
We would look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall when his head starts to explode.
Oh my gosh,
like,
so hot.
Our face
That's
would
so
just.
Hot.
Actually, I guess it would
Keep
be the reverse of that.
Ill.
And they'd be like, smash mammal
yeah.
or something.
No, I feel like I'm using the logic of, well, if blobfish looks ugly up here, then we all look ugly up here. And we need to be our best selves in the deepest
in the
part
deepest
of the ocean.
Seas.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. You should just follow through on that theory.
Yeah, no breathing tank. Just put a fucking 1-ton weight on my leg and just take me down with a photo shoot or just a waterproof camera. I'll take the selfies myself.
This is another fact that I stand by.
Liz is walking directly out of this office onto a boat and heading for the Marianas Trench.
For a photo shoot. She's like, my agent said I need new headshots.
Alyssa, it has been such a pleasure having you. What
Thank
a great first episode.
Thank you so much.
On a very politics-heavy day.
Yeah, seriously.
I know.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Alyssa_Sabo.
Hey, team underscore.
Yeah. You have an underscore?
I do.
Yeah. It's cool.
It is so cool, isn't it?
It's very like, you know, like I'm classy, but not too classy.
Right.
I don't know.
It says like, you know, I'm utilitarian, but not like too much.
Yeah.
Anyways, what is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Can I plug like my friend's Twitter?
No. You have to hate the person.
You have to hate the person.
Yeah.
And actually, you have to say fuck them before you even say their name. And this isn't sarcasm.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Literally, my friend Lindsay McDowell, I hate her so much.
Lindsay.
Don't follow her. No, but she's just so fun. And a lot of her tweets, it's funny because I'm not going to really be able to read it because she uses like GIFs and like, you know what I mean?
Well, it sounds...
Wow, you say GIFs?
Yeah, is that what it is?
It's technically what the creator did, but I'm old school internet and to me that would always sound like GIF, but...
Is it? I used to say GIFs and then this past week I started saying GIFs.
Did something happen?
Well, I just was thinking about GIF peanut butter.
And then your mind just went, you know what? Yeah. Changing it. So you didn't even hear that the person who created it was like, I say it as GIF. You just saw peanut butter and you just connected that and you're like, yeah. I'm switching.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Swag Lord.
I want people. Oh, but yeah, you can follow her at Lindsay, LINZEE, 2 underscores.
Ooh.
It's pretty wild.
Whoa. Wait a second.
She's
now.
Great.
Did she out underscore us?
Yeah, she did.
This is bullshit. You're not going to read any of her tweets. You're just going
to
tell us.
Oh, no, I will. I'm sorry. I have to be honest. Growing up with TV as my only guide into what adult life would be like, I thought I'd know way more people with amnesia by now. So many amnesia people.
So true.
I know.
That and quicksand. I feel like amnesia people are our quicksand because it doesn't actually exist, but it's such a convenient movie or TV trope that it just constantly is happening.
Yeah. And if you grew up watching telenovelas, you probably thought every motherfucker on earth had it. Or a soap opera. Every soap opera is the same way.
Yeah.
Just like Jane the Virgin right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he's getting his memory back.
Oh, I don't watch
that. Getting amnesia is like a big fear of mine.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I might have it now.
Don't worry, you wouldn't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. You would just be.
That's the comfort of
that's
it.
True.
You just become very curious about everything. And,
yeah, you just go, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe it's actually very stressful.
Yeah.
I actually am starting to use my son as a memory tool because he's got a really good memory, where I left shit and stuff.
How old is he?
He's 2.
Wow.
So because
shows you where his brain's at. He's relying on 2-year-old.
So many fewer memories than
in there.
He's just picks everything.
I hope
up.
You feel good when he can't read.
Yeah.
But he'll know where you left your wallet 5 years ago.
Yeah. He's helped me win so many arguments. Ramsey, run that tape back.
Come back. Court stenographer, please.
That's incredible.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Instagram and that other one, Twitter, at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is actually from Alyssa. It's the one that you have pinned to the top.
It's when a long one.
Yeah, but I love it. From Alyssa Sabo, at Alyssa _ Sabo. It says, guy I dated, not in the industry. You should try commercials. My mom and dad. You should try being on Netflix. My agent. You should try new headshots. God, I love you, Alyssa. Everyone, God isn't real. Me gets bangs.
I'm about to get bangs.
You're going to get bangs.
No.
Again with the sarcasm.
That? No, that's a fake out.
Yeah, that's
a fake out.
Okay. Not sarcasm. You're more like.
It's like a fun fake out.
Okay. Yeah. I'll buy that. You're all about the pump fakes. Head fakes.
Yeah.
Couple tweets I like. Louis Vertel tweeted, devastated to learn the Mueller report doesn't pass the Bechdel test. And Catherine Van Arendonk, I hope that's a real name, said, just once I'd like to see a woman throw up on TV and not be pregnant. Never happens. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, 1 second.
I'm just going to be weird with this one because we've just been talking about the unknown so much. I just want to do an Usher song that I feel like needs to get more love. It's called I Don't Know by Usher.
Okay.
Featuring P. Diddy.
Okay.
Because that's how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
We just don't know. And I don't know what you came to do, girl, what you came to do tonight, but I'm ready to party. Oh, and it's Friday. So just take that into your weekend.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday or maybe before if something crazy happens, but probably on Monday. So we'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Come on. Check it. It's right around 11 o'clock. One of your girls just called. Asked you how you look. Are you ready?
Ready, baby.
something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.